Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Friday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. Once again, we're grateful to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who has given us opportunity to share the Word of God again with you. We thank God for all you listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. We want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us at an email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD2MAN@gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we give unto you. Praise be to God. So amen and amen. We thank God for another blessed day. For those of you that follow us on Blog Talk Radio, hey, it's Friday. You know what that means, heart to heart. Brother Lee and the Handmaidens, and I will be joining them. Glory be to God. Thank God for another glorious day that he has blessed us to see, another opportunity to give the word of God. And as we await for my brother, Brother Eddie Lee, to come on and hit this off, I just want to take this time to thank God for all of you who have been listening to us these 4 years on Blog Talk Radio. Truly, indeed, it is a blessing from the Lord that we've been able to bring you the word of the Lord. So wherever you listen to me at, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, once again for the precious word of God today. We thank you for what you're doing and what you're going to do. And Lord God, for blessing us with the broadcast this night. Father, I pray that you will word the mouth of the speakers and that you would touch the hearts of the listeners. Lord God, in Jesus' name, let your word go forth. In the name of Jesus, and the demonstration of your power be seen. So, Lord God, we just thank you for this golden opportunity that you've given us, this time that you have given us this day. And, Father, we will give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. Thank God for all of you. I want to say Happy New Year to all of you that are listening. We're now in the year 2021. Glory be to God, and this is a beginning of a new year. My word to you, the word I must give to you, is that get ready, get prepared, come closer to the Lord, spend more time with God, because there are some things that await this coming year that we're in now. At the same time, there's things that God is going to do during this year, and those who are getting a position with the Lord will be able to receive it. Amen. Glory be to God. So, you know, hey, do your due diligence. Spend your time with the Lord. It's going to take sacrifice and discipline. The Lord gave me that about three or four years ago, maybe a little longer, about the two things that especially is involved and needed in succeeding at a goal. And that is sacrifice and discipline. So keep that in mind, along with your faith, that when you're spending time with God, it's going to take a sacrifice and a discipline. And there are going to be some things you normally do at a certain time that you're going to have to put it off, you know, or schedule it another time. But that time will have to be given unto the Lord. So I'm going to pass my brother on here. God bless, brother.
Well, welcome. We greet you, and we're glad for you that we again share the testimony of Jesus, the spirit of prophecy and revelation in these last days. And we are alive, talking with our own ability, and we're alive without any extraordinary things, tubes or oxygens or any of those things that many have to rely upon. I am grateful. I'm thankful, and I lift my faith and my hands to the Lamb of God for another year entrance. God bless up your effort. So I'm grateful for this Women's Night, Block Talk Radio, as we honor the women of God. So thank God for another opportunity, brother.
Amen.
Another great opportunity. Hallelujah. A marvelous opportunity has been given to us another year, another day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so we got to step up our pace and run the race and run all the way to the end of the journey and the race. So I'm just grateful today for this day. They call it in our way we count calendar time, the first day of the year. According to the Hebrew calendar, they count time a little different. But that's okay. It's all right.
Amen.
Thank God. Thank God anyway.
Amen. Amen.
Glory Amen. To God. So, yeah, I just went got me some alkaline water. That's beneficial to, you know, get a lot of toxin and acidity out of your system from eating certain foods. So I was thinking about how, you know, a lot of food that poison your system and build up acidity and toxin, and that if it doesn't get out of your system or your digestion doesn't really take care of it, you know, you can get a lot of things in your health problems. And so a lot of people need to watch that the water we drink is not only for, it's to help us to cleanse the toxin, the poison, and the acidity that builds up in our system from eating food that doesn't easily digest or doesn't have any real mineral or vitamin value. And so we have to watch our digestion. Now, the water, is spiritually speaking, when the Lord used the term water, it talks about the Spirit of life, the Holy Spirit cleansing the poison out of our spirit and our lives. So we are grateful for the Lord helping us this year to a thoroughly cleansing. That all believers will get to the altar, thoroughly cleansing. And a thoroughly purification. That sound good to me.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I was looking at this guy today. I forgot his name, but he also talked about the toxin that builds in our cells. And one of the things that for him and a couple other I forgot what kind of doctor they called him, that they made a good point on is that a lot of your regular doctors quote treat the outcome, but they don't go to the root cause. You know, this is why you got so many, for example, they give you blood pressure pill for high blood pressure, but see, there was a cause. There's a root cause.
Yeah.
If you don't get the root cause out the way, you're not really doing anything. You understand what I'm saying? You know, you got to find the root cause. And, you know, I thought about that, too. That's how the Lord deal with us in deliverance in our life. You got to get the root cause. What's causing this particular thing, you know?
Yes, spiritually speaking, physically and mentally, or any other problem that we have in life, you have to get to the root cause. And many times, especially in the Western world, the medical, a lot of the Western doctors are trained a certain way. And so they actually, many of them, are not treating the root cause. They're treating the symptoms. And if you just treat the symptoms with pain pills and this and that, and it doesn't... You're not hitting it. It's like a shotgun. You're just scattering, hope that you get some. but it doesn't solve the root. So, spiritually speaking, that Jesus had to come to give the root cause of man's problem, which the sinful nature. They tell us the fallen nature that's in man, so he had to deal with the fallen nature in order to get man to be transformed or recovered or redeemed. So he came to deal with our nature, our fallen, corrupt nature, to change and deliver us and give us a new nature. And that is the power of salvation through Christ. So in the natural, a lot of our physical and even our mental problems that affect our thinking and brain, it's because we don't get the root cause of disease or afflictions, and the medical doctors may do a good job in some things, but because of the way they are trained and taught in the Western world, we treat mostly symptoms. Well, a lot of cases, we just give pills and stuff for symptoms and never really get the root cause. They don't not train in medical school, in most schools. Now they're changing a little bit. But the way they train in the medical world, in the Western assemblies, is different from what the other Eastern worlds are trained about the human sickness and frailty and problems. So we treat surface things with pills. You know, we like a lot of pills and a lot of prescriptions. I'm not saying that some of it's not necessary. Some of it may help. It may even save people's lives. I'm not saying that. But in many cases, the way we think, the way we've been trained, we're just treating hope you and treating the symptom. You keep coming back and keep coming back and keep writing scriptures and pills. And this is why unnecessary pain pills are given to people. And there are some necessary pain pills which absolutely necessary, I understand, to keep a person alive from excruciating dying, from excruciating pain. I realize that. But we're too much into issuing too many pain pills and not getting rid of the problem.
Right. I agree. I mean, if you don't get the root of the problem, like I said, just treating its symptoms, you're really not getting anywhere.
There are some good doctors and caring doctors and compassionate doctors, but we know in a lot of instances in America, in the Western world, medicine and doctoring has become a business.
Right.
I'm sorry to say, a business. And so pharmaceuticals, getting in connection in order for doctors to get a lot sufficient to buy those two houses and three boats and take care of that tuition in their school, they have to write a lot of prescription, do a lot of diagnosing, come back, and I'm afraid some unnecessary surgery. So anyway,
right.
As we move on, we hope that people would become aware of what the Lord wants to do through the five means of healing and health. The Bible says Jesus, one of the purposes of Christ coming and laying down his life was in Galatians 3:13 to redeem us from the curse of the law. And now to give us the blessings of Abraham. So that means our loving God, our loving Father, sent Jesus, the Christ, the Son, to redeem, recover, to reconcile, and restore us, completely restore us. Now, we are living in the days of restoration. Acts 3:22 said we are living in the times of the restoration of all things. So God the Father sent his Son that he might restore and begin to bring about a restoration through sending a messenger, Elijah, to remind us or bring us to realization it is the time of restoration of all things, Malachi 4:5. So Lord wants to restore all things that we lost, that the devil stole and robbed from us. He wants to restore. And a loving Father will deliver us from all these curses that came because of Adam and the curse of the law. Today, our loving Father is so anxious to see us totally redeemed unto him, reconciled to the Father, and redeemed from every curse that befell us through Adam and the law. The curse they release. And let's look at something, Brother Bow. The Our Father is want to restore us and deliver us and reconcile and redeem us from that old cursed nature of Adam. See, the problem with mankind is that cursed nature of Adam and the unrenewed mind. The two things that's working against us, that old Adamic cursed nature that we inherit through Adam, and one of the other things is the unrenewed mind. Hallelujah. So, hallelujah. Now, we have to deal with our flesh, which is an enemy to us, as Galatians 6 says, the unredeemed body and flesh is an enemy fighting against us because it's not redeemed. The flesh that we have is not redeemed yet. So here we are. The Lord God sent his son, Yeshua, to redeem us from the curse, Galatians 3:13. Hallelujah. And he wants to restore us because we are living in the days of Elijah. Remember the Elijah prophet of Israel? He restored Israel. And he had to restore Israel back. And I was just thinking, just as I came on, this thing about Satan has robbed, cheated us, and what I call it, just scammed us and told us that we have to accept all this stuff, and God wants us to have all these curses and diseases and pains and poverty. He has lied and deceived us through many ways. And he has killed many people through ignorance. He has killed many people not knowing the will of God to accept, because the Bible says, Jesus said, the nature of Satan in chapter 10 is to kill, steal, and destroy. And that his nature is, in 8th chapter of John, chapter 44, that he is a liar and a deceiver, Revelation 12. So this devil has lied and deceived, and now the gospel in its completeness is to be restored with full light and power, especially in the latter days. I was amazed, brother, a few minutes, I would pull out one of my books of history. I happened to look at it, and the history of it's called the Dictionary of Pentecostal and Charismatic Movement. Now, when you hear that word Pentecostal, a lot of people in Christianity get all upset. I know. Well, you just have to be upset. I'm sorry about that. But the dictionary of Pentecostal Charismatic Movement, I was looking up, Burgess, McGee, and Alexander wrote this. Let's see. And it's the history of I was looking at the history of the Azusa Street Revival, how the Lord, in this revival that started, that turned America around in 1903, that he used many women. I was looking at the major role that women played in the plan of God. And during the Azusa Street Revival, I was looking at the women that he used to heal, and he used to restore women's ministry. He raised up many women to convey the baptism of the Holy Ghost, to heal, and also to preach. Getting off on forbidden territory, I don't want to get on to women can't preach or teach or exalt or proclaim. I'd rather use another word, proclaim. Maybe people won't get so scared, but they'll see the word preach mean is a word that's scary. So I say proclaim. Is that all right, proclaim?
Well, brother, you might well go with preaching. You know why? Because they're going to look it up in the dictionary anyhow.
Well, I'm going to be nice. I'm going to say everyone in the body of Christ can proclaim. They don't have to be ordained. Just have to be born again in the body, 1 Corinthians 12, to bear witness and proclaim. Because they're a child of God now. See, they're in the kingdom. They are sons and daughters, Romans 8. So the sons and daughters have to proclaim. What sonship is all about? Proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Redeemer. And they don't have to be ordained to an office to do that. See, this is the problem about a lot of people think that you have to be ordained to proclaim the good news about Jesus Christ as Lord, as Savior, and Healer. No, you don't have to be on paper to proclaim. As long as you have to be born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, you can proclaim and bear witness. Acts chapter, I think, for what Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, he said, you are my witness. After the Holy Ghost come upon you, you are my witnesses. What are you witnessing to? And he said, after the Holy Ghost has come, you shall receive power, and you shall be my witnesses. Well, I believe now is the time that a lot of things are being cleared up during the days of restoration of all things that we're living in. Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, the hope of mankind, came in this world. And he is now so anxious to lift these curses and these darkness and the evil off of his people and the suffering of his people, to deliver them, because his death on the cross, his suffering, his torture was to redeem them. Now, let's look at something, how the Lord today is so anxious to lift our suffering from his redeemed people. Do you remember, brother, in the Old Testament, when he delivered Israel from the bondage, from the taskmaster of Egypt for over 430 years, and brought them out with a mighty victory and triumph? And it was a type and shadow of what he wanted to do for us in the New Testament. But let's see. In the Psalms 105, it says, when he brought all of almost a million people close to him, with the children and all of that, close to a million people, out of hard bondage and slavery, under captivity of their slave master. By the way, will you be offended to tell you that it was the African nations that held Israel in bondage, African nation and people? Uh-oh. Did I offend anybody, well, brother? Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to upset you some more, because it's right there in the Bible. So if you can't accept it, you just have to put your head in the hole and like an ostrich and don't pay attention, because Egyptian or African people and an African nation. Son of God. Can't help that. That's just the way it is, bro. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Don't get upset, saints. I know you look at the Ten Commandments and you see Caucasian people playing the role, and that's okay. I have no problem with my Caucasian Anglo-Saxon people playing these roles, but that's not historically true. African, Egypt, and Ethiopian, liberal, all of those are African people. So let's not get upset, because everything on the earth is not Caucasian. All right. I did my thing now. Let me go and resurrect. This is Women's Night, and we're talking face-to-face and heart-to-heart. So if you have a question, you're free to call. And if you have a testimony, you can call. Wherever you are, we welcome you as long as you stay in order and peace and within the confines of wisdom. And we welcome you. And if prayer requests or question or a short testimony, you're welcome. It's okay. It's good. Now, we're going to talk about restoring health and wholeness. Brother Nate, you remember in Psalms 105 that when he brought Israel out from bondage, he said this statement was made, and there was not one feeble person among them. If you read that in Psalms 105, not one feeble person among them. Can you understand that? Feeble, wait a minute now. Out of those people that come out of bondage, it said as they left Egypt, there were not one feeble person among them. And actually, they got all that overtime for 430 years they had been working. The Lord made sure they got paid.
Amen.
They got all the gold and the silver. The Egyptians just gave it to them. Get out, get out, get out, get out of here. So they gave them gold and silver. So when Israel came out, they had overtime paid. They had been paying it. They've been working for 400 years. Now, I know that African Americans has been in slavery, and they don't want to give us no reparation. And I'm not going to get into that tonight. But Israel got reparation. Did you get that, brother?
Yeah. Amen.
I guess, listen, Israel, when they came out of bondage after 400, I guess it was almost 400 years. I don't know. They was in bondage. I don't think they were in bondage and slavery 400 years. Their time in Egypt was 430, but I don't know. But they were not in bondage that whole time. They were not in slavery. But they got a lot of overtime for all that back pay. And the Lord made the Egyptians to give them gold and silver, and it was, and for all that time of slavery, reparation. God is a just God. Do you believe God is a, he made them to pay them people, you know, for all that labor. And he brought them out, and it says in Psalms 105, there were not one feeble person among them. Because they had a lot of walking to do, you know. They didn't have no gyms and no cars. Some of them had little carts and stuff, but mostly they had to walk all the way.
Amen.
We got all this technology, and people, they out of breath. They just shoot, used to ride everywhere, and in those days you stayed kind of healthy because you had to mostly walk most of the way. You may have had a donkey. A very few nations had horses. But most of the, some had camels, but, you know, most of the people had to do a lot of walking, a lot of exercise. And in our Western civilization, we don't do too much. Now we had to pay and go to the gym. But the people in the South who did a lot of agricultural work, they were more healthy than the Northerners. And they are generally somewhat healthy. If they get rid of all that pesticide they're putting on their food, and we're getting all this pesticide in our food causing all this cancer. Nobody ain't talking to me out there.
Amen.
Amen. America is a capitalist nation, and we emphasize money and economy, but at what price? Let me ask you a person. You know, Mr. Trump, you're always talking about money. I wish he had talked about what makes a nation really great, and it's not money. Not in the sight of God. Not in the sight of God. You can say, great, the job, and just be as wicked and corrupt still. America is still wicked and corrupt.
Amen.
So that don't make you great in the eyes of God. Oh, we're great, we got a job, we got business. That's nice, that's good. But that don't make you great in the eyes of God.
Amen.
So, if you think that Israel, because they had all that gold and silver, they gave Moses the heck. You see, you think all because they had all that money and all that gold, that didn't change their what they were inside. Do you get that?
Amen.
Because you see a lot of rich people, and they just as wicked and corrupt and mean. So it's good to have money, and money don't have you. So it's all good. Amen. I'm not against money. I think the money earned honestly, for the sweat of your brow, good. As long as you don't make it the object of your life or the sole entity of why you live, then it become a idol. Money become a idol and greed. In many places in America, they have made money an idol god. Okay, let's move on. I believe in the Old Testament, there was not a feeble person among them. Let's go to Deuteronomy 7:15, brother. The Lord wants us to recover and be restored to perfect health and wellness. I know that's his will he came to redeem us from. Deuteronomy 7:15, if he brought all those people out of bondage and slavery and was not a feeble one among them, and with gold and silver they were given by the Egyptians. Deuteronomy 7:15, what?
And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee.
Now, you see, what kind of idea that when he brought them out and he made a covenant with them, he said, I will do what? I will not put what? I will not let what? Read that again.
I will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee.
Now, that's the mind and the nature of a loving God. Now, you notice what he said. He called sickness and disease evil. He didn't say it was a blessing. Did he say it was a blessing?
No, he didn't.
Well, why would he want to take it away if he why would God, and this is in the Old Testament now, and we're getting a picture and a symbol of the nature of God and the nature of the eternal God. He said to his covenant people Israel, this evil disease or plagues or curses, I will put none of them on you. He called it evil. He don't call it, well, God just wants to, this is the will of God. God wants you to be sick and plagued from the press. No, he called it evil and no good. It doesn't come from the Father, does it?
No, it don't.
It's not his will. It's not his purpose. Even in the Old Testament, he said, I put none of these evil things upon you. This is not my mind, my will for my children. Why would a good father want to do that to his children? No, absolutely not. Now, he designed that for the Old Testament saints. What about us New Testament saints? Now, do you remember, was it the book of Numbers, when the children of Israel had been, you know, doing their rebellious thing, as usual, they were rebelling and transgressing all the way, giving Moses the heck, just giving him all kind of problems, just rebellion. And the Lord sent serpents to bite them. Now,
Amen. And
they were bitten by these serpents, and I'm not going to get into what those serpents really was. I'm not going to get into that right now. But he caused them, these serpents, to come up, and they call them serpents. That's how they call them in the Bible. The translation, they call it serpents. And the serpents bit them and poisoned them, and they were dying. And Moses lifted up a brass serpent on a cross, and all they had to do was look up in faith and live. And that cross represented redemption that Jesus was going to come to do. Moses lifted up a brazen serpent, and he told
Amen.
All those that was bitten and that was still alive, look in faith and live. Look in faith
Amen.
And lift up their eyes, and all they do was look in order to live. Now, that show you the Lord is one. And then he sent Elijah as an example in the Old Testament. And you notice Elijah did several things that are very unusual in the Old Testament. He raised people from the dead and restored them to health and to wealth.
Amen.
So what did that mean? Uh-huh. Let's see. Let's go to Psalms chapter 30, verse 1 to 3. Let's see the mind and the will of God from the beginning of the world, and when man, even his natural covenant people, Jews, he wanted the best. I'll make you the best. I'll make you the top. I lift the curse from you. I take all of this out of your house. I will not let it come nigh you if you obey my commandments and my statutes. Psalms 30, verse 1 to 3.
The word of God said, I would extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave,
Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit.
What is David saying? What is King David saying about this prayer?
Amen. Well, he is rejoicing and thanking the Lord for, number one, showing his will to heal him. And he's giving him glory for deliverance that God has done in his life.
So he constantly, all the way through the Bible, we see Jehovah Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, giving us a picture of his desire for his people.
Right.
This is his desire, his design for his people when they sin and iniquity and death enter into the world through the fall of Adam. Psalm 34 says a poor man cried. This poor man cried unto the Lord. Now, we're constantly seeing what he wants to do by his example in the Old Testament, which is a symbol and a type. And now we in the New Testament with better promises, better ministers, with a better sacrifice, and the will of God is not fully clearly seen to us because of being skewed by the teaching to tradition and ignorance of men. Oh, this is the will of God. This is the will of God. It's supposed to be that way. No, it's not. The devil is scamming us. I said the devil is, he's going to scam us through the tradition, the thinkings of man, and through ignorance. My people are destroyed for the lack of not knowing the real truth. So look what we got here. Psalm 34. This poor man, what did he do? Psalm 34. I would bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continue to be in my mouth. It's something about why the praises of God should continue to be in your mouth. When you have the praises of God continually in your mouth, it is a protecting and it also a healing. It's all a defensive thing against the attacks of things that come from the other realm. When the praises of God continually be in your mouth, saints, instead of complaining and mumbling and grumbling and talking some stuff and speaking evil, you bring things upon you, but if your praises is continually in your mouth, oh, you ain't got to always be verbally aloud. It can be in your heart. It can be in your song, in your prayer, while you're walking, you're talking, you're washing the dishes, you're doing your clothes, when you're driving your car. The praises of the living God is in your mouth and in your heart and being released. It's hard for the devil to deal with that, hard for the things to come upon you. Hallelujah to Jesus. My mouth shall be filled. Hallelujah. Okay, you will have read this 34 verses.
34 verse 1 to 4. The word said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears.
Listen, this poor man was delivered from all of his troubles. Now, it was set there by David to declare for something, or it's not for me, because, you know, I don't have great faith, or I'm not a great servant, or I'm not in a position. Position and, you know, it said this poor man cried out unto Jehovah. And he was so in desire and faith, he kept crying. And it said he was delivered from all of his stress, problem, and his sickness, which means his fears. Or his anxieties and his vexation, he was delivered. And it says that the angel of the Lord was involved in his deliverance. So when we begin to cry and seek God and release his word and begin to praise him, the angels of the Lord get busy. Hallelujah. We can release the angels of God to fight for us. I said, we can release the angels of deliverance to fight against demons, attacks, against sickness being released upon a disease by releasing not only the word and the blood of Jesus, the word, the blood, but also releasing the angels to come to our deliverance. They're ready at the instant they hear the word of the Lord to respond to the gospel, the word of God in our mouth. When they hear the praise and worship, the angels rise up. When they hear the word of truth and righteousness and desperation, they rise up and they camp around about us and they say they deliver us. Many times we miss being delivered from evil in the streets or going and coming because we don't follow the roadmap of the Lord and allow the angels to preserve and deliver us. Now, we're not to worship angels, but they are there to help us when we release the word and call upon Jesus and release his word.
Amen.
Now, angels are right now camping around every born-again saved believer, and they also are preserving wicked, ungodly people to a certain extent. But the angels have an assignment. When you become a covenant child, they have a special assignment on your life of every saved believer. Now, we're not to worship angels like the Catholic Church do and pray to them and all that kind of stuff. That's idolatry, and that's ignorance. They mean well, but falling down to dead saints and angels and pray to them, which we are forbidden of God to do that. And angels of God will never accept worship. Demons and devils and familiar spirits and witches and warlocks, they won't worship. But the angels of God, you read in Revelation, when John fell down to worship the angels said, don't do it. Worship God. See, the angels of God would never accept worship, not the true angels. But demons and devils and demons and witches and warlocks and false religion, they won't worship. Because all these religions,
Amen.
False religion, belongs to Satan. That's why he won't worship and blood sacrifice. That's why he got all these gang leaders in these cities fulfilling a blood oath. In order to get in the gang and stay in a gang, you must shoot and kill people. That's called the blood oath. And the more blood you spill, the more power you get in the gang. When a witch wants power from Satan, the more blood offering, that's why a lot of these babies are going through witchcraft, being sacrificed also, children. But I ain't going to get into that tonight. I just want to bring that out. Hallelujah. Okay. The Lord wants us to be whole. Do you know what one of the first things Jesus did in Acts 10:38, brother? The first thing, one of the first options when he went into his ministry, Acts 10:38, what he demonstrated the purpose and the will of the Father in Acts 10:38, and people said, oh, you mean to tell me he's taking away my pain, my suffering, my agony, and making me whole? I thought that was the will of God for me. Acts 10:38. No, the devil is hoodwinking somebody. Acts 10:38.
Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him.
What is he telling us, brother? I thought it was the will of God for all these things. It's just the way it got to be. I thought it was the will of the Father that he sent these good stuff upon me. But what did Jesus do when he said, I come to do the will of my Father? And one of the things he did when he began to minister, it said God anointed him with what? Holy Ghost and what?
The Holy Ghost and with power.
No, he anointed him with religion, right?
No, it wasn't religion.
Wasn't politics,
a
tick-a-tick?
Well, none of that.
It said he anointed him with Holy Ghost and what? So this is the thing that the Lord wants to restore totally. That's what the part of the restoration of all things. And Jesus wants to totally activate this because he's redeemed us. He died and suffered to redeem us and restore us and reconcile to that which we lost, which Satan had robbed and cheated us, and the sin of Adam had took from us. Jesus of Nazareth was anointed with Holy Ghost and power, and one of the things he did, he went about doing what? I need to read that again. He did what?
He went about doing good and healing all that was oppressed of the devil.
But you notice he was anointed by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
He wasn't just doing something. He was under the unction and authority of the Holy Ghost, and he went about doing the will of the Father. Now,
amen.
Let's see what the devil is going to skim, gain us. Well, that's the way it got to be. Listen, I believe that the Lord in this day, the spirit and power of Elijah to restore a thing is to destroy the works of the devil. Do you believe that when Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil? Is that what he said? For this call, but the Son of Manifest, 1 John 3:8, he came to destroy the works of the devil. So these are the works of the devil.
Amen.
That's what Jesus came to do. Destroy the curse and the works of the devil. Okay. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. Matthew 8, verse 16 and 17. Listen,
Matthew chapter.
Every disease is practically your enemy. It come to kill, steal, and destroy you. It ain't coming to pet you up because it didn't come from the living God. That's not his nature. That's not his will. We've seen that's not his desire. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 and 17.
The word of the Lord said, when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses.
What do that say about his mission and purpose? And why today he's declaring out, I want to restore all things that was lost. What is that saying to us, brother?
That he is displaying to us his will and his desire for us to be restored to the place that he would have us to be.
So what was the thing that he just said?
He just said that, well, here the word of God said he took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses.
But he said something before that.
Oh, before that, they said that he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that was sick. So he's showing that it's his will for man to be healed.
But more than that, he wants to be made whole. See, and deliverance, complete deliverance, is being made whole. It's more than just being healed. So notice what he says. He cast out the spirits with his word. So the demon spirits have a lot to do with sickness and disease, oppression against our mind, will, and our pocketbook, and our children, their home. Demon oppression. Because remember now, Satan's nature in John 10, he come to kill, steal, and what? Destroy, right? And he is the oppressor. He is the oppressor. Because Jesus, Acts 10:38, say he went around healing all that was sick and oppressed of the devil. Now, in Israel, they were under oppression and slavery and bondage under the slave master. That when they left Egypt and came out, there was not a feeble one among them. That tells me something, that we get a glimpse of the nature and the purpose of God's plan. Now, in Isaiah 53, before he died, he included three things, one for your mind, one for your spirit, one for your body. Oh, deliverance is for your mind, for your body and your spirit, and your pocketbook, and your land, and your dwelling, and your household, and divine protection. This is what deliverance of the gospel is. It doesn't include one thing. It includes much more. Now, God is so anxious to restore what we lost. Let's go to Matthew 15. When this woman, who had no legal covenant right because she was a Gentile, that means she had no right to the covenant rights that belongs to the Jews, because she was not a covenant. She was the Gentiles. They're considered dogs, pagans, and heathens, and they had no legal rights as of yet. But this woman, who was a Gentile, who considered to be a heathen, she heard about Jesus apparently. In the 15th chapter, that this woman pressed in and got her deliverance, even though she was not eligible for it, according to the law. According to the law of God, she being a Gentile. Do you understand why many times that many sinners can get physically emotionally healed quicker than saints?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll get to that today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew 15 told the woman, as she came and got her deliverance, and she would not take a no for an answer. You got to bombay heaven and don't take no for an answer. You got to stand up for your rights and say, I won't take no for an answer. You see how people march in the natural? They say they want their rights, and they keep marching, right? They get all kind of opposite, but they keep on marching, right? Well, when you're in the spirit realm, you got to say, I'm not taking any no's because I know my rights in God. I know my rights in the covenant. In the natural world, people say, I want my civil rights. I want my legal rights. And they march, and they march, and they march, and they're persistent. And the only way most black people got that right to vote, especially in the South, they had to be persistent. Is that right?
That's right.
And they had to be very persistent. So when you're fighting the devil and he's against you, you got to be very persistent and diligent and say, no, I'm going to fight, and I'm going to fight, and I'm going to get somebody else to help fight me. I'm going to get a sister. I'm going to get these brothers, and we're going to fight for our rights in God and in Christ. This Paul, if any two, you would agree and touch and agree. Sometimes to win certain battles, you need two and three to agree with you, to help you to fight. So,
amen.
What did Jesus say in that chapter 50? He said healing belongs to the people of God. And listen now, he's revealing a truth to this woman. He said, you are a Gentile, but healing belongs to the people of God, the covenant people. Healing is their bread, their provision. They have a right to it. Deliverance, wholeness belongs to us. It's our right. It's Christ suffered, paid, beaten, tortured for that right to be given to us. Well, that's the way it gotta go. That's the way it have to be. No, I'm afraid that's not all the way true. I'm afraid that's not always the case. Our ignorance can kill us, and our willing not to fight the way God said fight. Hallelujah, to win, because he has given us a legal grounds against the devil and against the attacks of the enemy. Healing is the children's divine right. Matthew, so it is your divine right, redemptive right. Isaiah 53, Matthew 16 and 17, it's your divine right as a born-again, redeemed child of God. Now that things can hold up your deliverance, of course. Many times there's certain things that can prevent or hinder your deliverance. You have to deal with that first. I find out that one of the number one things that hinder most Christians and sinners is bitterness and unforgiveness. I started at that number one place. Bitterness and unforgiveness.
Amen.
Okay. Now, America is now very bitter and divided, right?
That's right.
That gives demons legal right to establish in a nation. When people are fighting in bitterness and racism and hatred, that gives Satan a legal right That people don't know what they're doing. They're up there fighting. Oh, Trump, you're a hater. Oh, I hate you. I hate. Do you know you're bringing demons upon this nation to destroy this nation? These people don't know what they're doing. They're opening a floodgate of demon power and curses. Oh, I'm standing up for I'm a patriot to save America. That ain't how you save America. That's how you're going to deliver a nation. The devil is deceiving all these good people in the parties. Oh, you're a hater, and I can't stand you. You see all these vicious words they're giving out, all this stuff coming out of them? They're giving place to devils and demons over America in their lives to destroy America because they opened the gate. They're opening the gate, and they think they're fighting for America. Oh, deliver us, Lord. Okay. Where is our sisters at?
Well, you know, Sister Anderson and them, they still are in...
Okay. I guess they are. Remember our dear Sister Anderson and Brother Anderson, her husband, he lost his father. And also a dear sister in Chicago, Kim Ray, her father passed away last week. About 4 or 5 days. Sister Kim Rage, her father passed away. So, while we got a chance, we better open up, blow the trumpet in Zion. Now, if you ask to start at the place where holding up your healing and deliverance as a Christian, or even as a sinner, there's some rooted long-standing grudges, bitterness, and anger against people. That's where you start. Secondly, one of the things that got people on the blazes is they're messing around with a lot of pagan idolatrous practices. Thirdly, things, a lot of them are into these perverted sexual things. And the third thing is taking pagan things upon you, tattoos and earrings all over your body, and you bring curses upon you. I'm just naming a few things that are plaguing people and bringing curses upon their lives. You think anybody going to throw some rocks at me, brother?
I'm pretty much sure, yeah. Yeah, no more of the cabbage this time, brother.
Well, would you tell the people I love to have beets? Throw some beets, because beets has a cleansing effect. I can put them in my body and they'll make me to live beets. So be sure you throw a lot of beets at me.
All right. All right. Definitely do that.
Hallelujah. Now, in Matthew 10, when he sent his disciples, here's the thing. I remember when the Lord called me and told me in my washroom, and as I bowed before him, I said, what am I called to do? I asked him several times when I was seeking him in a washroom, what am I, you know, you're supposed to ask the Lord because you can actually talk to him and he actually will answer. The devil, the devil is quite busy too. And, but here's the amazing part. When he sent his disciples with the assignment, Matthew 10, this is part of their assignment and their mission as representative of the king. What did he say in Matthew 10?
Matthew 10, what verse is starting at?
First three verses.
Matthew 10 and 1. The word of God says, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. First,
okay, you can stop there. We'll leave the names out. They can, anybody want to read it, they can go to itself. But when he called them, he gave them an assignment, right? He gave them a charge and authority and power. He gave them the mission, the assignment, authority, and power. Four things. He gave them the charge or the mission or the assignment and the call, but he gave them authority, exousios, and he gave them dunamis, power. And he said what the will of Father was. He says, go do like I'm going to do. And he said, I'm going to demonstrate this to you. And he demonstrated to them in that training. And this is the purpose of the Church of the Living God from the beginning. He gave them authority to do what? What was the thing that he assigned them to do in demonstrating the gospel? He says what?
He assigned them, he said, he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease.
Isn't that amazing? This
Amen.
Is the will of God in action. In actually manifestation.
God bless you, Sister Helen.
God bless. Amen.
Shalom. Well,
Shalom.
Okay. We got 30 minutes left for you, dear sister. Wow.
Okay.
Hello, and we, as they say in the Western world, I hope you have a blessed, wonderful, marvelous, tremendous year that you have entered into.
Amen. Amen.
Now, I often say when the new year begins, people say, Happy New Year, they use happy for everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not too much into the happy stuff, but I'm into this, the will of God, that he wants you to have a blessed and favored year.
Amen.
In his sight.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's why
Amen.
I always say, bless Christmas, bless New Year, or bless birthday.
Amen.
Or birth year. Because you just, I really, I said birth year because you just had a whole year. And
That's
it's
right.
not just one day. You reach
mm-hmm.
that point because it's a birth year. So may the Lord bless you another year.
Amen.
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 Glad to hear.
Yeah.
And we're talking about why the Lord want to lift the pain and suffering and agony. It is why coming Elijah is to restore all things.
Mm-hmm.
And the message of the gospel is to restore what we lost or what Satan
Amen.
Has cheated of, right? You know, I don't think that the people of God are supposed to be walking under bondage of fear as they are now about these things that are coming.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
Amen.
I don't think it's the will of God because Well, you go ahead, sister. It's your time.
Oh, go ahead, Brother Lee.
No, I don't. You got your 30 minutes, and I think we're going to start giving. I was just reading the background about all the women in the Azusa Street Revival and how it had a significant part. And I'm just reading this history about from the Azusa Street about all these women that God was using, and it was really shocking. I mean, it was really shocking. We should go and see how God uses anyone that presents itself and honor him and come to him, and male or female. And I was looking at the Azusa Street Revival history record, and I was reading this dictionary about all these different ones.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we celebrate everyone in the body of Christ.
Amen. Amen.
And we're so grateful about how he uses many, many women in that Azusa Street Revival and many other revivals. And I just think it's tremendous. Now, I know there are some extreme people who are going off the beaten path, and I'm not going to get into that. ain't going to get into that. Amen. I'm not going to get into that. I would, but I think it would be too controversial about some people going a little too far with this stuff.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Amen. Amen.
Yes. You know, I think that God has a protocol in everything and that he is sovereign and he can use anybody, anytime, any place that he chooses to do. I said he chooses.
Amen.
If he wanted that donkey to talk to you in Balaam, he can use that donkey to talk if he want to.
So true.
And he didn't have to ask you, can I use this donkey to talk to this fool, to this foolish person?
Mm-hmm.
To show you how foolish you are, I'm going to use a donkey to talk to you. So that means it's possible the Lord to use whatever vessel he chooses to.
Amen. That's true.
Within the scope of what is written, what is written. So I don't stop treating lightly people. Well, you know, believe in our denomination, we don't believe this. Well, I'm so glad that the Lord didn't establish no denomination. He established his church and his body and his believer.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, dear sister, the Lord wants us to completely be restored and delivered. And we're just reading about it, his desire, deeply desire, to do great and marvelous miracles this year as never before, starting. And many other people across the nation, the world, are seeing the mighty hand of Jesus. All in many nations are seeing the right hand of the Lord work.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Now, if I were to tell a lot of Americans, church world, that people are being raised and dead from the dead in Brazil, in Africa, in the Philippines, in Brazil. Oh, you're crazy. You're crazy. Well, because you're crazy.
Because
you're blind. I mean, but he wants to do all of these things in America, but we are not there yet. But he's doing them in Africa, Brazil, in China, in different places. People are being raised from the dead. There's a few people being raised and brought back from the dead. Isn't that marvelous?
Amen.
There's a few in America that are being brought back to dead. There's a few people in America. You know, I actually talked to a man that had died three times.
Uh-huh.
And he was a funny guy. He was in the Church of God in Christ. He had died three times. One first time he died of cancer, then he died of this, Cook County Hospital. He died of this and was brought back to life again.
Uh-huh.
It was amazing.
Amen.
They had put him in the hospital and put him in that morgue. And one of the times he died, he was in the morgue and he was in the slab. And when they pulled the thing over and he raised up.
Wow.
Jesse was trying to get through that door and run through that door and get away.
The
doctor, the kinfolk, and everybody was trying to get through the door at the same time. They were running.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the thing about it, he said he raised up, and he said it was funny because they was trying to get through that door running. The doctor and everybody.
Oh, Lord.
You can imagine that door was too small for them to get through.
I know it, yeah.
But in the days, there will be a people more and more who will be come to the place of restoration where they would do phenomenal and great and marvelous things. All right, sister. I think we're nearing a time where we have to press in to the full restoration, because the Lord has, for all 90 years, had tried to get a people prepared and qualified. He has not got a people yet.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. For 90 years, from 1929 to now,
mm-hmm.
you've been struggling.
Yes, Lord.
And now, here's an opportune time. Our nation is torn in bits, in fighting and division mm-hmm. and schisms. And in the church world, there's division and scission, and they fight. And I woke up, and the question came to me, why are the redeemed of the Lord who call themselves the church fighting against one another when the real enemy they're overlooking? Why is America being deceived by Satan by fighting them and seeking to destroy one another with bitter and angry and hateful words, and Satan is creeping in to take over America?
So true.
A house divided against itself, a nation divided against itself, Jesus said, will not withstand the assault of the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't believe it,
that's true.
Just wait and see.
Yeah.
When you talk at Facebook, you see all this hate and bitterness coming from these different sections in America.
Mm-hmm.
Anger. Now, the anger should be against the real enemy. They should know who the real enemy and come against him God's way, not in the flesh.
Yeah.
Not using racial and all other kind of names and all kind of bitter accusations. We're giving place to the devil. They're giving mm-hmm. authority to Satan. And these good people in Republican Democrat think they're fighting for their nation by doing this.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not how you win spiritual battles.
Amen.
This is a spiritual war, and they're using so many fleshly, bitter, angry tools and think this is helping America.
Wow.
But the Bible said the weapons of our warfare, we fight against another enemy in the spiritual realm.
Mm-hmm.
The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, so we can't win using just carnal weapons alone. Won't work.
Amen. That's true.
The army, where is my army? Where is the army of the Lord? The churches, many of them, can't get together. They claim they believe the same God and build on the same foundation, but we're fighting a devil trying to take over the world while we fight it against one another. We can reject error and phony doctrine, but why we can reject the tools of Satan, but why are we spending all our venom and poison against one another, and while Russia and China and North Korea are taking their time to invade America.
Uh-huh.
Get ready. And that devil in China and in Russia is releasing all these germs and all these things on America.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Hello.
Amen.
Don't care if you don't like it, because the money ain't going to save America.
That's right.
I don't care how much Trump holler about money, I'm bringing this in. That won't save America. That won't save anybody.
That's right.
It don't have no power to stop the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
So
thank
true.
You, Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let us pray for our faith brothers, some of our charismatic brothers, and prophetic message. They have prophesied so much that absolutely Trump is going to win. God said.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that? All those dear beloved who thought and said, God absolutely said Mr. Trump is going to win and be reelected.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we'll have to wait to January 20 to see whether that's true.
That's true.
Yeah, they actually had it one time.
So we
got to
be careful.
They actually had it one time about December the 12th that the answer was going to be given. So,
okay. Who shall we pray for today in particular? Anyone got any particular thing in mind we have to stand in the gap for? Because it's serious times.
Amen.
The city of Chicago.
Okay.
violence and the and dealing with the COVID.
Deal with who?
The COVID. The virus. Coronavirus.
Okay. All right. Okay. Sister Helen.
Okay. I would say like China. Because I have been that night when we was praying for the different nations, and you know, I didn't realize, you know, that I had that a little book was on so many different nations, and so I just picked it up. I didn't even know I had it. I don't even know where it come from, and it had all of these different nations in there, and then it had like their religious background of all the idol gods, you know that they worship in the rituals, you know, that they go through. And I was just going through that book and looking up, you know, all of those different countries, you know, the history, you know, on them, you know, that we can know how to pray, you know, for them and then the things that is going on in you know, in their countries. And so I, you know, choose China.
Yeah, that's good, because now we have to pinpoint, you know, kind of every day what the Holy Spirit or what God give us, a particular pinpoint, strategic prayer against evil. And like I said, I've been given, China is one of my target points, but more than China, it's several other nations that we have to target the evil greatly, because America is in really danger. America is in great danger as a nation. So we have to target the enemy, what he's, whatever nation he's using, whatever plan. Okay, I agree, because China been on my course, been on my list for quite one of the areas. But recently I target the White House, because there's much evil station, and there's much darkness in our government and in the Supreme Court and the Congress. Because this is the seat of the power, and this is the seat of our authority as a nation. And so the evil must be there to overthrow it and pervert the minds of people. And we have to pray for the United States senators, because many of them being influenced by evil and by wicked mind, establishing laws that is going to help overthrow America and hinder the Christian faith from prevailing. And so the Lord will, from time to time, because if a government give place to idolatry and reject the gospel, it is open to being overthrown. So, Lord Jesus.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Father, in the name of the mediator and the faithful high priest.
Yes.
We now stand in agreement to stand in behalf of these nations and to war against the war of Satan, declare war against the evil in each of these nations' cities. Lord Jesus, we come in an agreement, a covenant agreement, to stand against the plan of Satan over the government, over the seat of power in each of these nations that is being influenced and being ruled over by satanic powers and princes.
Yes, Jesus.
We lift our sword. We lift our battle axe.
Yes, Lord.
We lift up our maul and our arrows and our bows against the wicked one over these nations and these government that we have called.
Yes.
And we come against them and joining with all the intercessors this day,
yes,
over each state, Mississippi, Louisiana, Georgia, Florida, California, Texas, Oklahoma, Ohio,
yes,
Delaware, Connecticut, Washington, Maryland, whether it's in each of these places in Arizona, we join with the intercessors as one body.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
And we lift our sword as an army of the Lord.
Yes.
And we come in agreement by the blood and the resurrection power of the Lamb of God, who told us to declare war against Satan's war, to overthrow,
yes,
the wicked one, and to intercede and pull down strongholds of the devil.
Yes.
So, Lord, now, America, we stand in the gap for the White House,
yes,
and our government, where much evil and corruption and division is established.
Yes.
And therefore, we pull down strongholds over the White House and,
yes,
over its place and over the Congress and Senate and Supreme Court and the,
yes,
evil that's walking the courts of our government and,
yes,
over our senators who are given and the U.S. government and many corruption, selling America out for money and,
yes,
power. We come against every demonic stronghold of,
yes,
Babylon, Baal Peel, Leviathan. We come,
yes,
against every Rome, come Baal Peel God, every Sodomite God, Babylon God,
yes,
every,
yes,
communist,
God,
Marxist demon,
yes,
every Sodomite,
God,
Ahab, Jezebel spirit.
Yes,
we take,
Lord,
dominion and authority. We,
yes,
come against these powers of darkness over America who are leading,
yes,
us to idolatry. We cancel the assignment and release,
yes,
the sword. The,
yes,
sword of the Lord, as we are more than thousands joined together in,
yes,
Jesus' name.
Jesus,
we,
name,
declare war against the devil and his assignment over our nation.
Yes,
and we reclaim this land of Joseph, is our inheritance. And,
yes,
you have decreed. And we reclaim,
yes,
and take this land back for Jesus. We sprinkle the blood. We sprinkle,
yes,
the blood over this land. And we come to claim our inheritance and reclaim that Satan,
yes,
you will not have America. This land belongs to the Joseph seed. And we,
yes,
declare by the faith of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And we speak against the enemies from China that you begin to vivid them. Even the underground church will grow,
yes,
mightier in China. And mightier,
yes,
until they push back the evil that the Holy Ghost, and as they pray that war and angels will come against,
yes,
the regime of evil and cast,
yes,
down the stronghold and the seat of evil in Russia and in China who are conspiring to destroy America. But send,
yes,
the river of light and rivers of truth and angelic deliverance and visitations even to Ishmael and Turkey.
Yes,
show yourself in Afghanistan and Iraq and Iran and Sudan and Ethiopia and Saudi Arabia and Romania. Show up yourself. Gather your Israel. Show your arm. Show your deliverance. Overthrow,
yes,
the evil and bring forth the people. Vivid them, angelic hosts, warring angels. Overthrow the witchcraft prayer, that are coming,
yes,
out of Russia. The witchcraft prayer coming out of Africa, New Orleans,
yes,
Haiti, and Atlanta. The witchcraft prayer coming out of Maryland against our government. Cancel them. Reverse them. Be a shield. Let the blood of Jesus prevail.
Yes,
the word of God has fire against them. Turn back the curses,
yes,
of witches and warlocks.
Yes,
let the,
Lord,
curses reverse. Come upon their own self. Show yourself,
yes,
as in King David in the day of the Philistines. Do battle. Lead our call. Plead our call. Lift your,
yes,
sword, O Lord. Lift your hand. Help us in,
Lord,
Zion. Cry out.
Yes.
Help us in Zion. Deliver us,
yes,
from the evil,
yes,
plan.
Lord.
In the name of Jesus, rain, rain down righteousness, rain down deliverance, rain down an awakening. Send the Azusa Street. Quicken us, help us in the time of great need. Our need is great in this nation to be consumed. But Lord, overthrow the enemy. Bring a revival and a spiritual awakening like Azusa Street. Show yourself. Show yourself. Hear the cry of your people.
We intercede
in their behalf of this nation in Zion. Now, Lord, you heard the cries of Chicago and China.
Lord,
let the river of light, a river of truth in Japan and in Australia and India begin to show your hand. Mighty God of Jacob, mighty God of Abraham, Isaac, mighty God of Elijah and Moses, arise and plead our cause in Jesus' name with the sword, with the sword, with the sword, with the arrows, and vivid the honest in heart, and vivid those that are crying out for help, vivid the honest in heart in those nations. Bring forth a visitation in the name of Jesus, and reverse every curse said about witches and sorcery and high priests that sin against our government, against our church world, from Rome, out of the Mecca, out of Rome. Reverse the hand of the enemy that's coming out of Rome and Mecca and Medina. Overthrow the enemy and show yourself to the honest in heart and deliver, deliver, deliver. In the name of Jesus, you are mighty to save. Let Mexico and the drugs in Turkey and Mexico, let the drug cartel, let my disaster and destruction come on the drug demons over Mexico, Brazil, and Turkey. Overthrow the devil of drug demons. Turn them backwards. Let destruction fall upon them in the name of save the drug cartel. Vivid them and shake them up and deliver them from the hands of the enemy. Do miracles, signs, and wonders. Recover your Israel in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Thank
Lord, help those Mormon people who are in gross darkness. Help the Roman Catholics, Jehovah's Witnesses, and Confucianism, and Hinduism. Show your mercy and kindness. Open their eyes. Open their eyes.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Open their eyes, O merciful one.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, bring restoration revival as Azusa Street in this nation. Again.
Yes, Lord.
And we thank you, Lord, that the blood prevail over our homes and over our children.
Yes.
Be a shield against our house and our home. Lift
yes,
your sword.
Lord.
Lift your sword. Plead our cause. Counsel the works of the enemy. Teach our hands to war, our fingers to fight.
Yes.
See our strength and our victory as in the days of King David.
Yes,
to the
Lord.
Uttermost. Put a ring of fire around us, the blood of Jesus over the angel of deliverance to turn away every evil word and heal every sick person and disease that hunger for you. Begin to destroy the evil in the works of darkness. Command life.
Yes.
Command life. Command life. In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
And we thank you for it.
Thank you, Lord.
And we thank you for it. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
A mighty awakening in Mexico.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah,
Jesus. For the word of God, thank God for the broadcast. Don't forget tomorrow night, another Heart to Heart broadcast. This is advertising at 7 o'clock p.m. And from 6 to 6:30, I'll be back with Brother Robert Gross as we continue on in the series. From 6 to 6:30. So, once again, we thank God for all of you that are listening and for Brother Lee and Brother Nate with Sister Tears. God bless you. God keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless. Amen.